Hello, this is Andy Cates speaking from New York this week.
And this is Tian Yong-Woon from Singapore.
And thanks, everyone, for taking the time to tune in to this latest edition of our weekly podcast. So this week, I'm going to touch on the FOMC decision and comments that were made by Powell in its aftermath, and contrast that with some of the disappointing US data flow that's been published over the past few days. Chen Yong will then say a few words about this week's developments in the Asian currency markets and touch on some regional data releases as well. As usual, we'll round off the podcast with a few words about what's in store in the week ahead. Just a reminder, as usual, that all of the views that we express on this podcast are our own, and they're not the views of Haver Analytics. So lingering concerns about the Fed's potential to lower interest rates in coming months have clearly continued to unsettle financial markets over the past few days. This week's remarks from Fed Chair Powell following this week's FOMC meeting have arguably calmed some of those nerves. I think the reduced scale of balance sheet tapering, an emphasis on labour market conditions relative to progress on the inflation front, as well as strong signals that interest rates are far more likely to go down from here than up, are all dovish surprises. Clearly, much of the anxiety in markets about the Fed's scope to lower interest rates can be traced to the US economy's resilience and its tight labour market in particular. And looking at the latest numbers, what I find quite interesting is that this economic resilience is arguably being challenged. Recent days have seen a much weaker than expected consumer confidence report, a weaker than expected ISM survey of manufacturing, and a weaker than expected JOLTS report of labour market activity, all off the heels of a weaker than expected GDP report for Q1 last week. And as we illustrate in one of our charts this week, the Citigroup US Growth Surprise Index has, against that backdrop, turned sharply lower, a trend, incidentally, that now stands in very vivid contrast to the trend in US Treasury yields. Market expectations for Fed policy have tended to chime with economic resilience up until recently, and that resilience, or the market's expectations of that resilience, may now be being challenged, at least from a straightforward read of these data surprises. Looking more globally, I think it's been interesting too to note that the US data flow has been a little more disappointing, but that contrasts with euro area data, which has been a bit more upbeat, a bit more resilient. And that's generated as well an interesting anomaly where US yield differentials seem to be supporting the US dollar versus, say, the euro, even as the incoming data speaks to fading support for the US currency versus the euro. Let's focus now on Asia. And Chen Yong, what's been happening in your neck of the woods?
Thank you, Andy. Starting with the markets, we saw quite a few interesting developments coming out of Japan. Specifically, the week saw big moves in the yen, spurring speculation that moves are caused by central bank intervention. The first big move came on Monday, shortly after the dollar-yen exchange rate breached the 160 level. The second big move, which occurred during Japan's Thursday morning session, however, may be attributed more to remarks coming out of Federal Reserve Chair Powell's conference earlier. Zooming out, the week's currency moves bring to perspective the far-reaching impacts of the Fed's higher-for-longer stance, which in this case relate to Asian currency markets. And by extension, this would have even affected the decision-making calculus of central banks in the region. Moving on to the week's data releases, Japan's industrial production fell by less than expected in March as car makers began to restore output following the recent safety scandals. Retail sales growth, however, slowed by far more than anticipated, with sales of motor vehicles particularly hard hit, having plunged nearly 16% year-on-year in the month. In China, activity expanded at a slower pace in April, as indicated by its official PMI readings, which fell. However, the Taixing manufacturing gauge, which is based on the smaller sample size and proportionally fewer large producers, indicated a slightly quickened expansion for the period. Lastly, in Taiwan, we saw real GDP growth surpassing expectations to reach a multi-year high, Q1, supported by strong global demand for AI-related chips. as the preliminary readings indicated. So that's all from me on Asia for now, Andy.
Great. Let's look briefly now at the week ahead, where we have a very light few days ahead of us lined up on the US data front. Obviously, following this Friday's somewhat kind of heavier slew of data that's on offer from the employment report. We are, for the record, just recording this on Thursday morning US time. On the US data front next week, though, again, for the record, we do see a few private sector surveys, some consumer credit and some inventory readings. Europe is much busier, however, particularly in the UK, and particularly as well with the latest Bank of England meeting due a week on Thursday. Q1 GDP data are as well due a week tomorrow. So on the Bank of England, no one really expects any change to the to interest rates or to the UK's monetary policy levers more generally. And I think very few, if any, see any shift in the composition of the committee's voting for any changes. So in other words, another 8-1 vote is anticipated for keeping rates on hold. And where there's arguably a greater capacity for adjustment is in the bank's guidance on the inflation outlook, just following some dovish comments from some MPC members over the past few weeks. What about the week ahead in Asia, Chanyeol?
Thank you again, Andy. Like Europe, Asia is seeing quite a busy week ahead. Specifically, we're looking at a spate of GDP prints and interest rate decisions due next week. Touching first on GDP, Indonesia and the Philippines will report their Q1 readings on Monday and Thursday, respectively. To recap, growth hovered around 5% in Indonesia and moderated in the Philippines in Q4. Apart from the GDP results, the central banks of Australia and Malaysia will review their latest rate decisions on Tuesday and Thursday, respectively. To start with Australia's central bank, the RBA, it is expected to hold its policy rate for longer given sticky inflation, with markets having recently pushed back their expectations of rate cuts. Malaysia's central bank is also seen to keep rates on hold, with rate cuts not expected anytime soon. So that's me wrapping up Asia, Andy.
Thanks very much, and thanks everyone for tuning in today. Further analysis on these issues, as usual, can be found in our latest Charts of the Week publication. And Chen Yong will be writing on China in his latest letter from Asia early next week, so please look out for that. Otherwise, please note too that our latest monthly newsletter was published on Tuesday with all of our latest updates, including some news and an expansion to our Emerge CW database and some information on our recession dating functionality. Have a great week ahead.